Today I'll be presenting two recent SWOT model developments on the water quality simulation perspectives. They are urban stormwater best management practices and on-site wastewater treatment systems, or OWTS, or septic systems. So I'll, these are actually individually two different topics. So I'll briefly go over what they are with some case study results so that you have a basic idea, and then those who are interested, we could make a follow-up discussion later on. So what is OWTS? It's a decentralized domestic wastewater treatment system for those houses where located in rural areas where central wastewater treatment grid cannot reach. So it treats domestic wastewater using typically a septic tank and a drain field where effluent from the septic tank is either sprayed or dripped into soils. So it relies on the natural biological degradation processes and clogging and other physical processes as well to remove pollutants from domestic wastewater. So is it significant? Well, individual systems maybe not, but as a gross cluster of those septic systems, as reported by EPA, about 20% of the entire U.S. Houses relies on on-site septic systems, which is quite a few. And also, same agency reports that in some states there has been very high failure rates being reported, meaning, say, in case, for example, Minnesota, about 50-70% of the existing septic systems are in failing condition, believe it or not, but that's their statistical knowledge. So, how do we incorporate in this OWTS in SWOT? We focus on understanding the water quality impact of these systems at the watershed scale. So we try to understand how a collectively this OWTS systems either active or failing affects the nutrient load from a certain rural environments. So we incorporate physically based algorithms for simulating septic drain fields at the HLU scale so that local parameters like soil texture, hydraulic loading rates, system ages, all those individual properties of the individual systems can be properly simulated and realistically represented at the HRU watershed level. Also incorporated was a database for septic effluent properties. Some those nutrient levels and TSS concentrations from of the septic effluent influences the overall operational efficiency of those individual OWTS. So we adapted EPA's surveyed data into SWOT so that different known technologies can be applied in the model to represent different systems in single area, like conventional systems or advanced systems. We tested this model on a small watershed in East North Carolina, where NCSU a group at NCSU did field research collecting well data, monitoring well data at a few sites. So even though we didn't have stream flow data, we could evaluate the model and the performance of the OWTS algorithm in SWOT. This watershed is a small watershed, mostly range urban forest. There are about 227 houses relying on on-site septic systems, and the predominant soil, loamy sand soil, makes the conventional systems suitable for this location. So the first thing we calibration effort was made for making the overall failure rate, right? Locally, the area has been reported such that 70% of the failure should be achieved in 35 years of operation for individual conventional systems. So that was first calibrated. And then using monitoring well data, we looked at groundwater table, seasonal fluctuation of that. Because those monitoring wells were constructed near active drain fields, we figured that the septic effluent will make noticeable effects on the groundwater level in that area. Finally, we looked at the nitrogen concentration in the groundwater. And the model was able to reproduce the overall mean concentration pretty well over a year period with some seasonal fluctuations. And as you can notice, during the winter season, the groundwater groundwater nitrate concentration went over some drinking water standard rate. Probably due to the little rainfall contribution to the groundwater. So septic nitrate effluent, even from an active system, contributes to some increased nitrate concentration in the groundwater. So some advantages and disadvantages follow this development. Advantages, with this we can make a pretty accurately represent on-site septic systems with the SWOT model and simulate their water quality effect to the surface and subsurface water as they turn between active and failing based on local properties. So that's very important information where there are many high density rate of on-site septic systems. Well, on the disadvantage side, it needs pre-processing of land use map, because we exclusively define septic drain fields as a land use type in our land use map. As part of the ARC SWOT processing. So a user who is interested in using this procedure needs to make a proper processing of their land use map to include septic points, and also need to configure the overall septic performance right for the area to get the reasonable results. So that's a brief summary of the on-site septic systems modeling procedure, and now urban stormwater modeling. Well, SWOT was basically optimized and is very strong modeling in rural vegetative watersheds. But because of its strength, many urban planners actually use SWOT to plan for developments and their 10-year, 20-year plans, because basically what they do is to see the water quality effect of land development of their watersheds. So as they turn a non-urban lands into urban lands. So we focus on simulating stream flow, peak flow attenuation, and sediment removal by urban BMPs, and to realistically simulate those urban BMPs, their capacity is very distributed, meaning they are only able to treat a small drainage area. Their capacity cannot be measured at the daily or larger time interval. So we ended up refining sub-daily hydrograph simulation and soil erosion and sediment transport module as well. And then we added a few BMPs, urban BMPs, into the model. They're namely sedimentation filtration basins, retention irrigation basins, wet pond, and detention pond. SAP Field is simply a serially connected urban BMPs of sedimentation basin and the sand feature. By putting the sedimentation basin ahead of sand feature, they achieve both improved removal efficiency and also extended, reduced maintenance demands for the sand feature. Retention irrigation basins are to reuse some urban stormwater runoff to irrigate nearby lawns or trees in urban lands. So this is a common practice in Austin, Texas. Wet ponds are typically constructed in residential areas, and it uses both physical and biological processes to remove nutrients and other pollutants in the urban stormwater. Detention pond I wouldn't call it detention pond to my knowledge, because the detention pond we are talking here is more like a detention structure to attenuate peak flows only. So in practice in Austin, what they do is they construct detention structures like stepped weirs or circular orifice halls with overflow weir in a local park areas or some open areas so that large storms can be attenuated and the erosion can be controlled. So why subdaily is important? Well, first reason I told you, these urban BMPs are small sizes and scales, so daily and larger time step cannot really simulate their removal efficiencies. Also, in terms of erosion and runoff calculation, in Texas weather, sometimes even hourly calculation is not sufficient to realistically represent runoff processes. For example, 75 millimeters per hour of rainfall intensity estimated at 10-minute interval is the equivalent to 12.5 millimeters per hour of rainfall intensity if estimated at hourly interval. So that difference makes a huge effect on the runoff calculation as well as some erosion calculation. So with all this, ended up revising SWOT algorithms to better simulate subdaily runoff and erosion processes. So here we extend the subdaily module into more flexible flexible way, such that any time interval as low as short as 1 minute interval can be considered to simulate a runoff and sediment transport. And also we completely separated runoff and erosion processes on the impervious cover and then also pervious cover. So the mechanisms are different, but there wasn't clear distinction in earlier version of the model, so we have to kind of sort them out before actually moving on to the urban BMPs. So with that, these urban BMPs can be individually or as cluster system installed on a sub-basin level catchment. So, a case study. This is Jollyville sand feature located in downtown Austin. 100% urban, more than 90% impervious cover. Very small drainage area, 2.8 hectare. It just looks quite complicated, but there's water comes into this inlet, and then this is a sedimentation chamber to screen out those debris and large particles, and then just there's a wall between. There's a wall between the sedimentation chamber and the actual sand filter media. So the water goes into the filter media through kind of circular orifice halls underneath the concrete wall. Excess inflow basically bypasses the sand filter directly, flowing directly into the creek. So we had two goals in this case study. First is to evaluate the new algorithm, whether it works right or wrong. Second was to evaluate the design capacity of a sand filter. Is this sand filter designed correctly to treat a reasonable amount of surface runoff generated from its drainage area? So those two are the objectives of the evaluation. We evaluated 3-year storm events from the local LDF curve. The majority of the storm events were below 2-year return period storms, which means it wasn't that really varying. Not much surprising storm events happened during the period of 97 to 99. We evaluated runoff estimation at the inlet of that sand field, and then outlet of the sand filter, and the model was predicting, reproducing the measured data pretty well. We also evaluated large storms and small storms, and in both cases, model was quite sensitive to those different rainfall intensities, and ended up giving some good, reasonable results at the outlet. I made this storm event as a special case because this is an interesting event. There was a big event on April 25th, 1997. Two large storms happened, and our model made good prediction, but when I look at the sediment balance around the sand filter, I found that the sand field only treated 39% of the inflow sediment, even though it's the sediment yield out of a sand filter was only even less than 1 kilogram for the 248 kilograms of inflow, and that was possible because more than half of the inflow sediment basically bypassed the sand filter because of the high storm events. So. In this particular case of a large event, the sand filter was not sufficiently large enough to treat all the urban sediment load went into the sand filter. However, in a longer term period, at annual scale, I found that the sand field overall made a good capture of the storms. Well, thinking of that, the basic purpose of these pretreatment facilities is to capture the first flush of storm events, but this particular sand field was able to capture most of the storm water runoff generated from its drainage area, and also made a good removal efficiency on an average at the annual scale. So. So the Jollibee sand field was considered to be sufficiently well designed to handle the stormwater runoff in that area locally. As for ongoing efforts, we are continuing to work with the City of Austin to enhance some urban component of the model, developing some LIDs or SUD, meaning sustainable urban development. Green infrastructure, there are many different terms saying the same thing, but we're looking at modeling green roof, rain garden, cistern, porous pavement, and other source level treatment management with the SWOT. The difference between BMPs and LIDs, BMPs are made to handle generated runoff, but these LIDs are developed constructed to not to generate these runoff and pollutants at the source level. So those two are the main differences, but overall LIDs will be simulated in SWOT collectively as distributed system. So I don't think I really delivered the details of these new algorithms, but those interested, you could look up papers published regarding this work so far, and you can get plenty of fun details of the presentation. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.